Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses this morning. This is God's Word. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If the people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about?" And he tried to see him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority. First thing we want to talk about, there are 4 main points in the message this morning. The first is the power of delegated authority. The second is the necessity of obedient faith. The third is the question of who is being judged. And the fourth is Herod's dilemma. So first of all, the power of delegated authority. Delegated authority means authority that is granted to someone from someone else. And I'll give you an example. If I ask a member of the staff or a member of my family to take my credit card and go to the pharmacy and pick up some medicine for a member of my family, and they decide that instead they would like to go to Walmart and buy themselves a new big TV, that is a misuse of authority. They do not have authority to do that. If, on the other hand, they go to the pharmacy and they pick up the medicine that I asked for and they charge it on my credit card, I'm going to pay for that as I intended to pay for that, as I would pay for that if I went to the pharmacy and charged something on my credit card. When you delegate authority, you entrust someone else with authority to act on your behalf. Jesus was asked on more than one occasion, "Where do you get the authority to do what you do? How is it that you're able to command demons to come out and they obey you? How is it that you're able to heal people the way that you do, miraculously, instantaneously? How do you do that?" Jesus answered, "I do what the Father tells me to do. I say what the Father tells me to say." The reason Jesus could do what he did was because he was acting in obedience to his heavenly Father. And when you and I are entrusted with authority, it is the authority based on obedience. We're going to talk more about the obedience factor in a moment, but I want you to understand that this principle plays out all over the world. If I am driving down the road and I decide that 35 isn't enough to satisfy my need for excitement, I want to go 65. And I get pulled over by a police officer. The police officer chases me and has the lights on, and I decide, well, let's see if I can outrun him. And let's say I run in the ditch doing about 90, and the police officer comes up, and I look at him, and I say, where did you go to school? I bet you I have a better education than you do, and I probably have more money than you do, and I'm older than you are, so I'm not going to do what you say. Am I rebelling against the police? Well, not just the police. I'm rebelling against the folks who put him in charge of patrolling that section. And I'm rebelling against the people who gave them the office of policing the community. And I'm rebelling against not only this community, but against the people who make the laws. And I'm rebelling ultimately against God. And therefore, I deserve to be taken into custody and locked up. But let's suppose that the police officer was doing something criminal. Let's say that the police officer was doing something that violated his oath of office, violated the laws, and I see what's going on, and I actually learn the circumstances, and I realize this man is killing someone unjustly. And I say, well, you know, he's a police officer. There's not anything we can do about that. Wrong. The police officer only has authority to act in the way that authority has been entrusted to him. If he's violating that chain of command, if he's violating that law, he is going to answer for it. So authority that is delegated always involves obedience. And if people, whether it's parents or school teachers or preachers or youth workers or Sunday school teachers or neighbors, uncles, grandparents, whoever it may be, if somebody tries to get someone to do something that is wrong, they have no authority to do so. Don't let anybody get you to do things that you know you should not do, because authority doesn't give someone the power to do evil. Do people who have power sometimes do evil things? Yes, they do. Will they answer to God for it? Yes, they will. Again, more about that in this passage and in this message. But I want you to understand, it is very important that you understand the power that comes with delegated authority. Jesus called the disciples together, and he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, not just some demons. Jesus has authority and can delegate authority to say, whatever demon you come up against, you can drive it out. You have authority to do so. If I run into a copperhead snake up at my house, you know what I do? I quickly go and get my lopping shears. And I bring those lopping shears, and I decapitate the snake. Okay? Why are you talking about killing snakes? Because here's the thing. If I find a copperhead at my house, I'm not the one who's in trouble. The snake is in trouble. And when Jesus sent his disciples out, these apostles, he sent them out with authority to drive out all demons. It was the demons who were in trouble, not the apostles. Okay? They didn't have to be afraid. Oh, what if we encounter a demon? Demons are powerful. Demons are powerful. but they're not as powerful as Jesus. And so when Jesus says, you have authority to drive out demons, it's the demons that are in trouble. Understand? That's what this is talking about. Jesus gave them authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. I have seen precious friends die from a disease. I've also seen God heal people. And I'll tell you this. When God decides to heal somebody, that disease does not have the same power. Jesus gave them authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. To preach the kingdom of God. The reason for this demonstration of divine authority was because they were to call people to surrender to the Lord. The kingdom of God is about being in relationship with the King. It's not about geography, it is about relationship. Please remember that. Because the kingdom of God is the theme that runs through so much of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, all through the Gospels, all through the book of Acts, over into the epistles, in the book of Revelation. It's all about being rightly related to the one who is the only true ruler.
In Psalm 145, we read, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, they went out preaching the kingdom of God and he healed the sick, because that was a demonstration of the authority of their message. They were there as ambassadors for the King. Guess what? The Bible tells us that those of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior are now in this world ambassadors for him. We are representing him. Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, or as you go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Authority. Jesus gives the commands, and we teach people to obey him. Now, the power of delegated authority is something you and I had better understand. And that not only has to do with how we respond to God's authority and to those who are in authority, but it also has to do with how we exercise authority. As I said, if I gave someone my credit card and said, go buy this, and they went instead and bought that, that is something that they will pay for, and not just the TV. They would pay for disobedience. The necessity of obedient faith means that God is going to repeatedly put those of us who serve him in a position of conscious dependence on him. Jesus told them, as they're going out to do these miracles and to preach the kingdom, Take nothing for the journey. He didn't say, now travel light. That would have been a reasonable thing. This seems unreasonable. Take nothing for the journey. No staff. Well, man, you would not want to, that would be like me without my lopping shears. You do not want to go out without a staff. No staff, no bag. Well, I mean, I can take a backpack, can't I? No. No staff, no bag, no bread. Come on. I'm supposed to walk from village to village and I can't take some food with me? I get hungry sometimes. Well, be hungry then. He said, I'm sending you on a miraculous journey and you're going to do things that people are going to be astounded by and you're going to be astounded by what happens. I'm going to use you in ways you have not imagined. You've seen me do miracles. Now you're about to do them. In order for that to happen, you need to do exactly what I tell you. Remember how I've said that Jesus only did miracles in the context of obedience? The miracles he does are always in the context of obedience. He tells people, do this, come here, go there, etc. And as they obey, miracles happen. Well, Jesus is sending these guys out with power and authority to work miracles, but he's telling them, you need to be walking in obedience in order for this to happen. And here's what I want you to do that will require you to demonstrate faith. Take nothing with you. No staff, no bag, no food, no money. I can't even have money to buy stuff. No, no money. Here's the worst of it for some of us. No extra tunic. Well, why? What's the harm? God calls us to obedience. Just do what he says. Even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's scary. Obey. Well, I don't see what the big deal is. The big deal is the king has just given you an assignment. You need to do what he said. That's what the big deal is. So, they set out. And they went from village to village preaching the good news and healing people everywhere. Everywhere they went. It was amazing. But there's something else that Jesus said. Not only the power of delegated authority, not only the necessity of obedient faith, but Jesus said this. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. You see, as these guys went out to do what Jesus had told them to do, people in various towns responded differently. Some people welcomed them and miracles happened. But there were other places where, just as with Jesus himself, the people rejected him. And so the people rejected them, which is what Jesus had said would happen. Well, I guess we failed there. No, they failed there. Jesus did everything perfectly, and he was despised and rejected and ended up being crucified. So Jesus says this, if they reject you, you don't skulk out of town. I'm sorry, I guess we didn't do well. You take your sandals off and you shake the dust off your feet saying, we don't want anything to do with you. You blew it. I don't believe Jesus would say that. It's in the red letters. Okay? Check it out. Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And Jesus said, those who reject the truth are still going to have to answer to him. You understand? Now, that shouldn't give us some sort of glee. Ha ha, you're going to get it. You were mean to me, but God's going to be mean to you. No, it's not that at all. It's simply saying that the people to whom the message comes are the ones on trial, not the messengers. How we respond to the message of the gospel doesn't determine the value of the gospel. It determines whether we're going to be saved. A person who rejects the truth doesn't make it untrue. If you don't believe in gravity, you still can't float. And if you don't believe in God's law, you're still going to answer for your disobedience. And if you don't believe the gospel that Jesus came to save sinners, then you're going to miss out on the life and the joy and the peace that he brings with his forgiveness and cleansing. So the question of who is being judged in verse 5 is that the people who think they're evaluating the message of the apostles are actually the ones who themselves are being judged. And there's not a clearer example of that than what follows in the next verses with Herod. Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on. He heard about all these healings. He heard about the exorcisms. And he was perplexed. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Who is this? Because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. John? John? Who's John? John the Baptist. Herod says, I had him beheaded. I had him killed. So who is this? Because what's happening is they're preaching the kingdom of God. And as they preach the kingdom, that threatens Herod. And he's trying to figure out, but miracles are happening. Yeah, some people say John the Baptist has come back from the dead. That would be scary. You kill a guy by cutting off his head. You see his head there on a platter. And now, maybe he's back. If I can't conquer him by killing him, I'm in trouble. Let me tell you something. Herod had tons of power. Even the power of life and death, because he misused the authority that God had entrusted him with. And yet, with all of his power and all his connections, all his military might, but he couldn't stop the truth. The kingdom was still being preached. John had come to introduce Jesus, and now Jesus is the main act. And Jesus is out there, not only preaching, not only working miracles, but he's multiplying. He is sending out these 12, and later on, he's going to send out a bunch more. And later on, he's going to send us out. Right now, our brothers and sisters in China are experiencing horrible persecution. Why are they working so hard to persecute the Christians? Because they see it as a threat. They see it as a threat to their rule. Herod was following in the footsteps of a Herod who'd gone before, who had all the male children, two and under, slaughtered in the vicinity of Bethlehem because he was trying to get rid of the Messiah. You can't stop God. You can't stop God. If you kill his people, you still can't stop God. I don't have a great deal of confidence in the various branches of government. But I will tell you this. How government responds to the truth doesn't change what's true. How people with force respond to the truth doesn't change the truth. How you respond to the truth doesn't change the truth. And so I implore you to recognize the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to surrender your life to him and say, okay, Lord, you may ask me to do something someday that's going to be as weird and scary as going on a journey with no provisions. But Lord, if that's what you ask me to do, I want to be obedient. You will never make a better decision than to trust God and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.